Do you find yourself worried and anxious a lot for really no reason at all?
You're not going to want to miss this episode with social worker Jeannie Harms, where she teaches us hands-on tools that will help us deal with our anxiety.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lindsay with Why Are You Worried About It? A podcast journey towards a better you.
And hey, everybody, I'm Susie Arvo. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and we are all on this journey to a better you. And we talk on this podcast actually about things that you should worry about and things that you shouldn't worry about. Because as humans, you know, there's a lot that we think of every single day. And so we want to really just kind of get down to it and figure out what we should worry about.
There's lots of things out there that I know that we constantly go back and forth talking about stuff and we're like, oh my gosh, why are we even spending time on this? And then there's times where it's like, okay, this is actually something good. And we talk about it and we work through a lot of things and our coping skills, our little tool belt that we keep, and we're able to kind of go through this journey and really figure some stuff out. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. And today we are so excited because we have a very special guest with us, and we've been trying to get her on our show now for a while, Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm Jeannie. I am a licensed clinical social worker with Country Crossroads. I have been with the company for almost 5 years now, and I've loved it all along. I love everything I do. I'm part of the leadership team. I see clients out of our Sedalia office, and I do school-based services. I also direct our intern program for graduate students who come in and do their internships with us. So I get to do a little bit of a lot of things, and it keeps it exciting and really fun.
That's right. You do. You wear a lot of hats with Country Crossroads, and you come to a lot of the events and make sure that people, you know, kind of hear the word about mental health, regardless of where they're at in life, what they're doing, you know, and you do really important work. And so it's really exciting. And Jeannie, as you know, working in the field every day, and we see a lot of people out there that have a lot of symptoms of anxiety. Right. And they might not meet a full, you know, diagnosis, you know, of anxiety. However, they experience the symptoms and kind of what it feels like. And so I thought it'd be really good to bring you on the show and just kind of talk about, you know, what that's like for people and some things, you know, that they can do. So I thought maybe we'd kind of start with what are some of the things that maybe like how does anxiety sometimes present itself in people?
Yeah. So when I talk about anxiety, I always like to really reiterate that it is a normal response that your body has. So people come in sometimes and they'll say like, I just want my anxiety to go away. And what I talk to them about is we're not going to make it go away because it's a good thing and it helps us be productive. It helps us get things done. It helps us stay protected and stay safe. So all anxiety is not bad, but what we look for is when it starts to become dysfunctional as part of your life. So if it starts to interfere with things like work or your relationships or school, if you're a young person, if it's interfering with the way that you function, then we might want to do something about it. And it presents in lots of different ways. So one of the things people think about most with anxiety is excessive worry, right? So they're just like, I cannot stop thinking. I can't stop worrying about these things. And that is certainly one of the most prominent ones, but it doesn't always look like that. It might be things like withdrawing and freezing, what we call freeze mode, where you just don't, there's so much to do. I just am not going to do anything. So I'm just going to stop altogether. And then sometimes we see somatic things too, like physiological symptoms, like headaches, stomach aches, fatigue, stuff like that when it gets pretty severe. So it's important to be on the lookout for a lot of those different things. And again, like Susie said, not always clinically diagnosis at that point, but certainly can interfere with life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of, you know, I feel like clients, you know, they go through like the what ifs, right? Like, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? Or like worst case scenario, even thinking, like a lot of like, you know, thought-based kinds of things as well. And then like even like I feel like the self-doubt, you know, and all of that. And you talked about, you know, like your physiological kinds of things. You know, we see even like stomach aches, you know what I mean? And like the tightening of shoulders and back, and like, you know, it can present itself both mentally and physically. And it can be really, I feel like, exhausting for people. It can be very uncomfortable for people. And so, I mean, I feel like if you have any of those things going on, you know, it is probably, you know, some symptoms of anxiety, and it's definitely worthy of, you know, we always talk about the name it to tame it kind of thing. Like, you know, that's what that is. And we had a friend or whatever that recently, you know, had some symptoms, you know, her heart was fluttering, that kind of thing or whatever, and went to the doctor, and sure enough, anxiety. So,
I mean, if you think about the it just being an overactivity of your nervous system, and that is exhausting. So if you ignore it or don't respond to it, because you don't recognize it early enough, then your nervous system is going to stay overactive, stay in overdrive, and then you are going to start to experience some somatic things. So that's kind of the second line of your body and brain trying to signal to you, like, hey, slow down, do something different.
I think it's really interesting, and something that I always think about too is whenever I'm thinking about my little ones. I went through it with my daughter, and she was having a hard time going to school when she was younger, and her stomach would hurt, and every day it was a lot of these things. It was definitely a physical reaction. And then finally, when we kind of dove in, it was because of school. She was having anxiety with another kiddo in her class, and it was presenting very much like it was a her problem, when it really it is, but isn't. So we were able to kind of put some things in place and really make a difference for them. So just being aware of that, and those people that are around you too, like watching your, if you have little ones or loved ones that maybe they don't even realize that that could be something going on.
And then once people know it, then you can make them feel safe again, calm that nervous system down, and even having things like a plan, like you said, you have some kind of structure to how you're going to manage it when it happens, and your nervous system feels good again.
And the one thing that I know we really want to get out there is that there are things that we can do about it. Just because you have this anxiety, and it's very normal. A lot of people in their life, I think it's like 70 some percent over, will experience some kinds of symptoms, you know, of it throughout the course of their life. So it's very normal. We want you to know that. However, there are things you can do and things that you can do to treat it. And that's what we like to really focus on too, is, you know, some things that you can do just at home, even to make yourself feel better. So, Jeannie, what are some of your like go-to coping skills that you teach clients like in a session?
So I talk about treatment as kind of three tiers. So one of them is keeping your nervous system in a relaxed state, which would just be things like get the right amount of sleep, eat good nutrient-dense foods, get some activity through your day, like do things that are going to keep your nervous system regulated. So that would be number one. Number two, I teach a lot of grounding strategies, is what we call them. So that would be things that incorporate your senses. So there's one that is the 5-4-3-2-1 method, where you name five things you can see, four things you can smell, hear, touch. So really incorporating your senses and being mindful of what's around you. I do some somatic things too, like really plant your feet hard in the ground. So if you're in a space where you feel anxious, like a doctor's office maybe, or at school, you know, plant your feet into the ground, do some affirmations like, I'm gonna get through this. I know what I'm doing. You know, I can do hard things. So I teach those. I think, deep breathing is one I teach very frequently, and I teach it probably differently because a lot of people say deep breathing just doesn't work for me. Like, I try taking deep breaths, it doesn't work. And so So I always like to do, again, because I get a little nerdy sometimes. I like to really talk about like the physiology of how deep breathing works and how you're really triggering that diaphragm muscle, and we practice it together. Because I think when people understand the science behind deep breathing, then they understand it more, and then it can actually work for them. The third thing, which is a little bit more long term, would be like cognitive behavioral strategies. So trying to restructure the thoughts that create anxiety for people, because what we notice is there's a lot of patterns to those. And in the therapy world, we call them thought distortions, but it's essentially just things that your brain tells you over and over that are not always reality based or rational. And so we have strategies in therapy that we use to restructure that, to recognize it when it's presented, and then change that thought over time so that it holds less power over you and doesn't create so much anxiety.
Yeah. And Jeannie, a couple of weeks ago on the show, we walked through the CBT triangle, and so that's a great one for anxiety too. If you have anxiety, just restructuring those thoughts, changing them, reframing them affects how you feel, affects what you do, and that kind of stuff. So any CBT techniques are absolutely amazing for sure. And I love to working with clients and talking about, even just like drawing like a T on a piece of paper. I love this one. And then going through like irrational versus rational. You know what I mean? Like, this is what your brain is telling you right now. Like, this is like the irrational thought. However, what's the truth? Like, what have your friends told you about you? What have your loved ones told you about you? What's, what's a good thought about you? And so just kind of like going through some of that and helping them recognize, I feel like that self-awareness piece is just huge.
I do one that I call thoughts on trial, and I mean, I think all ages like this one, because what I have them do is just take the thought that they're having. So they might have a distortion like, nobody likes me, or I'm not good enough. And I always remind them that these thoughts aren't things that maybe they truly believe about themselves, but in certain moments, it feels very real. So I have them kind of visualize pulling that thought out, and put it on trial. So, like, think about your the lawyers that would be saying, okay, what evidence is there that that's true? What evidence is there that that's not true? And so it might be like, okay, if it's nobody likes me, well, so and so didn't talk to me today, or I didn't sit with them at lunch. So, okay, maybe there is some evidence, but there's a lot more evidence. Maybe this is they do like me because they smiled at me this morning and they talk to me almost every day, and we've been friends for several years now, so it just makes more sense that maybe they're having a bad day. There's other possibilities than just they don't like me.
I love
Absolutely.
that. That's so good. So I feel like too, if you maybe live with somebody with anxiety, let's just say you have a anxious, like Lindsay was talking about her daughter, you know what I mean, or a friend or a, sibling, that kind of thing. Let's talk just for a minute about like some things that we can do to help that person, you know what I mean, that might live with somebody with anxiety.
One of the things I encourage is helping them to recognize when they're becoming dysregulated. So when they're becoming more anxious, because again, in their mind, all of it is so real and it's so intense. So if they're having thoughts like it, that are very anxious, it can be helpful just to identify that for them. Hey, I notice that your thoughts seem to be kind of spiraling right now. Let's talk about what's real. So very gentle ways, right? We don't want to say, okay, you're being crazy right now, or you're being really excessive, you're being so intense, right? We want to be gentle about it, but try to just bring them back into this space of reality. Like, hey, here's what the facts are. Here's what we know. Let's try not to worry 10 steps ahead, because that's what people often do. And our brains are designed to do that. Like, we are ancestors of our most anxious people, right? That's how we got here, because they survived from being anxious. And so it makes sense. We're forward thinkers, but sometimes it gets away from us, too many steps ahead. And another one that, especially for kids, but this could be for spouses, for anybody in your life you care about, talk a lot about co-regulation. So if I myself am a person who does not experience high levels of anxiety, but I live with someone or care about someone who does, I really encourage just like talk to them about how you regulate yourself. And so for parents, I say narrate your own regulation. So when you're taking some deep breaths, when you're feeling escalated and you need to just go outside or you need to drink some water, narrate it. Talk about it as you're doing it so that your kids or the people in your life see, A, it happens to other people too, and B, there are ways to manage it. And it's okay to do that. Like take your space, take your time, and just manage it in the ways that are available to you.
I love that you're saying that. I do that a lot with my kids. Sometimes I get overstimulated a lot, and when they're kind of loud and crazy or in the car or something, and I've got the radio, I will have to turn it off. Or if I do get a little snippy, when I realize it, I try to always let them know, I'm really sorry, I'm just overstimulated right now. Just give me a minute, and everything will be better. And usually they hear that. It's much easier for them to understand, okay, mom, we're just being a little crazy right now.
Sure.
We need to give mom a second, opposed to me just yelling at them and them not understanding why I'm being
Yeah,
grumpy.
because then they think it's them.
Yes. Yeah. So they definitely hear me way better when I say it in that way to them. I am just really overstimulated right now. Can we please just have a minute? And that works out really well.
And it's an amazing thing you can do for them because it normalizes that experience. We all have to regulate our emotions, but as adults, we don't talk about it as much because we've practiced it a long time and it's just kind of second nature. We just take the deep breaths without thinking about it. And so for other people who haven't had that experience of doing it for a long time, it's important to speak it out loud.
Yeah,
Awesome.
absolutely. And Jeannie, these are such good tips that I know will help so many. We love to end the show kind of like with a call to action. We always kind of like to, help people. And so we just want to kind of let you guys know that if you're out there and either you experience, anxiety, or symptoms of anxiety in any way, that it's okay that there are things that you can do. It's definitely treatable. People, live with it every day and have things that they can do, coping skills that help them live a very happy, healthy, fulfilled life, even with the anxiety. And so we encourage you to, we always, obviously, we love therapy because that's what we do here at Country Crossroads, but there's lots of ways that people can get help. And we're just trying to normalize that. And so, Jeannie, what do you think are some other ways besides therapy that people can seek help if they have anxiety?
Yeah, I think just seeking out other resources, like things like podcasts that you can listen to and put into action in 15 minutes, or YouTube videos, or things like that can give you some really simple ideas. And like I said, treatment of anxiety, it can look different for everybody because it could be some very simple things or there could be some more deep-rooted things, which is totally okay. But I think find what works for you. And I think the call to action for me would be keep trying, because I would guess that if you're experiencing anxiety now, it's probably not for the very first time. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out what works for you. So like I said, people will come and say, "Oh, I've tried deep breathing. It doesn't work." Well, that's okay. Like, that's fine. That doesn't mean that you just have to deal with anxiety for the rest of your life. It just means you might have not found what works for you yet as a self-management strategy. And you might have to get a little creative and think outside the box and find your thing. Because when you find it, it's going to be so valuable and it's going to change your life. So,
Absolutely. I always say too, get on Amazon, order a workbook, 12 bucks, and they've got the best kind of resources and whatnot. But this has been so great to talk to you, and we're so grateful to have you on the team at CCC. You're changing lives, so many of them. And then also, hopefully, you guys enjoyed Jeannie today. I know I sure did, and always learned something from her. So,
Thank you so much, Jeannie, for being on this show with us. We absolutely love to hear from you and all your knowledge. If anybody ever has anything they want to hear from us, please let us know. We would love to have you on the show. Share any feedback with us. We absolutely love it. Be sure to check us out on Facebook. It's Country Crossroads Counseling, and then on our website, countrycrossroadscounseling.com.